Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Those who endured the trials and tribulations of marriage, amen. I think we had some technical difficulties going on, but I pray that we are now live, and if you're on the line listening, press 1 on your keypad. We are live now. Amen, amen. I've had some technical difficulties. I got messages here. They can't hear me. I pray that you can hear me now. But we prayed, and so we're moving on. Let me repeat my announcements here. We still do Marriage Live and Uncensored on Saturday, July the 9th, 2016, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Compton State University at the Talent Center, 2500 North Avenue. You can call 443-386-8876 or go to www.marriedwomenreachingout.com and register. It's Derek and Maria Purcell at We Still Do, Inc. We're asking for $30 per couple registration, and we encourage you to come out and join us for that. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I see my lines are open now, so we must be working. We had a technical difficulty there a couple of minutes, but we're live. Amen. Also, our second announcement we have going on, we have the Jesus Lives Family Ministry, Men's Fish Fry and Fellowship. That's Jesus Lives Family Ministry, Men's Fish Fry and Fellowship on July the 16th from 12 noon to 2 p.m., we're asking for a $10 donation in RSVP by next week, the 10th. You can RSVP for $10 per, so make sure we have enough fish and size for everyone. You can call 410-859-8002 for the Men's Fellowship and Fish Fry. The address is 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. Amen. And again, the phone number is 410-859-8002. It's Pastor George Sharps and my brother Deacon Anthony Lee there. He directs the men's ministry on the men's ministry leadership team. So we invite you to come out for that time of fellowship. Amen. Also, Jesus Lives Ministry, we're having a men's retreat, and that's going to be in September 2016 on the 7th, September the 16th and 18th. And we're going to the Black Rock Retreat Center in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. Again, you can reach out to the church. It's $250 per person, double occupancy, and we got two beds in the room. So, brothers, you ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to share a bed, but you might share a room. So bring a brother with you that you don't mind sleeping with. I mean, that you know, that doesn't snore too bad. Amen? Again, that's Jesus Lives Ministry Men's Retreat. You can call the church about that at 410-859-8002. Men's Retreat in September the 7th, 16th to the 18th, 16th to the 18th. Amen? And that's all our announcements. And again, you can go on our Facebook page, and all of the announcements are posted there, Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. Also, we're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. That's Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. We post all upcoming events there, and you also can send us information about your upcoming men's event, men's breakfast, men's fellowship, or any retreat or anything you're doing that ministers to men. And we'll post it there and encourage the brothers to come and join, because we believe that there's always a place where a time of men, just men of God, need to get together to encourage one another, to be able to pray for one another and be in fellowship and build it up. Because, it's something I always say that, as men, we always had our circle of influence, our boys, our crew, our gang, whatever you want to call it, our fraternity brothers. But in the body of Christ, we are brothers in Christ with one Heavenly Father. And we need to be in connecting with one another to encourage one another, to know that anything that we're going through, we're not alone. And the things that we are going through in our life, someone else has been through it, can counsel us, can encourage us, can pray with us and understand what's going on. And that will lead us back unto Christ. So we need to have those mature men. And I believe that's the most important thing, to have those mature men in our lives that we can share, we can bounce ideas off, that we can pray with and get encouragement from, and know that we are definitely not alone in some of our struggles, in some of our passions. Amen. And I wanted to give some shout-outs to some ministries here. First of all, I'll give a shout-out to my church, my home church, City of Hope International Worship Center. at Columbia, Maryland. Also, Refreshing Life Ministries with Pastor, my pastor is Bishop Joseph McCargo. And also, a shout out to Refreshing Life Ministries with the pastors Ernest Gilliam Jr. and First Lady Donna L. Gilliam. And they're out 2603 Baker Street in Baltimore, Maryland. And I want to give them a shout out because they have a pantry going on, and he has a lot of food and giveaways and clothing giveaways that he does out there every first, second, and third Thursday and every fourth Saturday. So we encourage you to reach out to them if you need anything. You know, families in need, families that are going through, they need food, clothing, and food giveaways. You can call them at 410-333-5151. That's 410-233-5151. So we want to give them a shout out this evening and get that information out there for those who may be in need. I know it's the summer season and everything, but we don't want to wait until Christmas, Thanksgiving. That their brother there out there every week, and they're doing and providing for those in need and those who may be struggling. Amen. Amen. Also, I want to give shout-outs to New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders and Apostle Etta Banks, Pastor Chuck Brooks at Graceway Church in Baltimore, Winning Souls Evangelistic Church in Pasadena, Maryland, Pastor Ian Edwards. And that's it. Oh, Pastor John Watts from Kingdom Life in Brooklyn, Maryland. And to give a shout-out to those ministries there for us. Amen. So again, tonight we're going to be talking about relationships a little bit, and we're going to, Pastor Larry Watkins. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Deacon Farr. I'm good, sir. How are you? It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. We had a little technical difficulty in the beginning, but we good now. We're live. So we have this live technology here. Sometimes we have problems with it, but we good now. I pray everyone out there can hear us. Again, if you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636 and be able to join the conversation. I'd like to hear your input on what we're talking about tonight. Well, Pastor, we're going to start tonight. We're going to talk about relationships a little bit and the body of Christ as men. You know, I mentioned it earlier in the intro, and we talk about that. We all have relationships, how we have friends, we have families, our wives, our children. And we have associates, we have coworkers, but as men of God, there's certain things in our relationships that I believe that we have to set boundaries, and we have to, you know, it's not that we, because I want to be careful here, but the book of James talks about how we treat the rich man or the poor man or person who of prominence and those who may be less than. So we have to be careful, but also we're called to be, you know, discerning of our relationships and of those that are around us, you know, because we have to understand that there's certain folk we shouldn't be around. And it's how we view folk is how judge is going to, because again, God judges our heart and how we view folk and how we actually treat folk. Amen.
Amen.
So I just want to touch on a little scripture here to get us started, because it's going to be in Matthew chapter 22. And it's going to start with at verse 37. It's Matthew 22, verse 37, and Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And we take time to study it. And when we take time for scripture to sink into our heart, into our mind, and understand what that means. I know the great question that is always asked when the scripture is taught is, who is our neighbor? But Pastor Walker, I'm going to start with you. You know, when God tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, you know, that's something that if as us as men of God, we should start to take to heart and start to think about that thing on how we treat those around us. What do you think, sir?
I think when we talk about those being our neighbors, you know, when you look at the literal sense of the word neighbor, it's the person that lives next door to you, or the person that lives in your neighborhood. Therefore, it's the person that we associate, people that we associate with every day. These are the people who are in our lives. Now, it does not say that it has to be believer or unbeliever. It does not say that it has to be Christian or unchristian, saint or non-saint. It says that we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now, the thing that sticks out to me is that we have to first love ourselves in order to love our neighbors. And many of the times, the relationships we have with our neighbor is based on the way we feel about ourselves, not to get too psychological or going too much psychobabble. But really, many of us base our relationships with others on the way we feel about ourselves. We may not trust ourselves, so sometimes we don't trust people. We may not like ourselves, so we shy away from people. We may not want to have people in our lives, so we don't treat our neighbors the right way. But this text says that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In essence, we must love ourselves in order to love our neighbors. Our neighbors is that person that lives next to you. It's that person that you come in contact with every day, that person that you see on the street, that person that's in your neighborhood. We used to watch the show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You would say it's a lovely day in the neighborhood. We have to love those people who are in our neighborhood, whatever your neighborhood is, whether it's your church, whether it's your job, whether it's the place where you live, or it's the train that you ride on in the morning. It's your neighborhood, and these are the people that we have to love. We have to show them love, and I don't think that there's much that you can't read that can be read into this text, except that it's a call to love for everyone, and it's a call to love those who are around us, especially and that are close to us, that we come in contact every day. Because these are the people that we are living examples for. The Bible says that we are living epistles known and read of men, and these are the men that are reading it. These are the people that are seeing us, and these are the people that we need to be showing love to. What do you think, sir?
Amen, amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. I mean, we have to, again, you know, God looks at our heart. He looks at our intent of our heart. It's not more about our outward appearance. It's that love. And do we have, and I think the greatest love we can show any man, woman, or our neighbor is the gospel, is to share the gospel message, the hope that we have about who Jesus truly is. You know, we said this on a couple other shows that, you know, a lot of folk, we can't assume folk understand the gospel and understand who Jesus Christ is, and understand scripture and understand Christianity. And again, by that love that we show them, if we are sharing the gospel, if we share the gospel in a way that folk can understand, to give them opportunity, that the Holy Spirit can open their hearts and mind. And because some folk are only going to hear the gospel from you. And that's what I do a lot, and I share that, you know, and especially in the body of Christ. There's people out there that's not going to hear the gospel from your pastor, no matter how, you know, the man of God, powerful man of God he is, they're not going to hear from him. They're going to hear it from you. So we have to be in a place where we feel enough love for our neighbor that we know what we believe and why we believe it, and we're able to communicate it in a relevant way to people's lives. And sometimes it's not even quote the scripture. It's befriending folk, showing the love. Because you'd be surprised how many folk are out here, especially men. You know, I want to focus on men, because a lot of men, they walk around and brothers are lonely. Brothers don't have no real friends, no people they can trust, no confidants. And that can be a struggle for a lot of brothers. And that's why brothers tend to can looking for those relationships and connect with folk that ain't good for them, because those folk will take the time to hear them, to listen to them, not try to, you know, what we call it, you know, try and manipulate them and shape and mold them, but they'll show them actual kindness and friendship. And then that's where that can gravitate. You know, I know brothers want to be, you know, we're bold, we're independent, we're a man, and we're strong. But, you know, we all need to have someone in our life or other males in our life to keep us rooted and grounded. And especially if we talk about the two relationships with, you know, we have brothers out here, young men and old men, who didn't have strong male role models in their lives. And we have to be able to be those role models for them, because they're going to find them. But as men of God, are we trying to reach those who necessarily have had negative male role models or never had any? You know, we want to hold young men accountable to certain things that if they were never taught what it's like to be a man, to walk like a man, to carry themselves in a masculine way, they're emulating what they've been taught. You know, and you know, some of us cringe when we see effeminate brothers walking around, but if they was raised by their mama, grandmother, and their auntie, that's all they know. And that's where they feel comfortable because they didn't have that one-on-one personal relationship. Amen? So, as we, again, as we love ourselves and we love our neighbors, what are we doing? How are we carrying this out? And how are we fulfilling what the Great Commission calls and how are we applying it to our lives as men of God? Amen? I'm gonna go one thing about it. I want to go back again. Now, we're going to talk about brothers in the church because, again, here at Issues Christian Ministry, we focus on men's ministry, the importance of men's ministry, the importance of men being ministered to by men, because, you know, there's things that happen when men get together, especially men of God, and we're able to mentor and disciple other men. You know, we have a lot of folk who talk about the church, and the church is full of women, and there's always women in charge of things and doing things, and the church is effeminate. But the reason for that is because those of us brothers who are in the church, you know, we're not taking our place in the forefront when it comes to serving and being seen in the church as leading in worship, leading in some of these areas, standing up. You know, it's some of I've noticed. I just was in a men's group recently, and we talked about, you know, the brothers, you know, it's fine to be there in attendance, but are we really partaking of all the people around us, even the other women? Even the women in the church, are we seeing the men in the forefront of the ministry? I mean, there's balance and there's role. I mean, that comes under the wisdom and guidance of the pastor. But when the pastor calls for men to do certain things, are we, you know, are we reluctant or they let the other brother do it? You know, I've been to some ministries, you know, come what is it, Men's Day, Father's Day. That's the only time you can find the brothers in the church. You know, for that, whatever, that special, it's got to be a special occasion for men to be seen about the business of ministry. And, you know, and the folks see that. The women see that and the children see that. It's got to be a special occasion. We have to, you know, make it, it's not the norm. Let me say that. It's not the norm. Pastor Watkins, what do you think, sir?
I agree with what you're saying. You know, when we think about the men in the church, I often say that the only thing that's going to bring men into the church is other men. When I started going to church, and I'm just going to base this on my own perception, when I started going, I was going to look to see someone like me. I was going to look to see someone that could worship, not as women worship, because I didn't want to worship that way. I didn't want to praise that way. I didn't want to be there was two things that I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be effeminate. And I didn't want to be the rooster in the hen house, so to say, being the one that was looking for, you know, have all the women around me and being the only man there. I needed other brothers that I could identify. I wanted to see what true worship looked like in a man. I need somebody to model that for me because I didn't have a model for that. So when I was going to church and started looking for churches, this is what I was looking for. And many times, men, when they go to church, they think they're going to find just those two things. They're going to find either the rooster in the hen house, which means they're going to have a pastor standing up and he's going to have a whole bunch of women around him, or he's going to find men who are praising in an effeminate way that worship like women, and that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for something that looks like them that they can model their lives after. And these are the things that we need as men to portray. As men in the church, we need to be the ones to show them this is what a godly man looks like. This is what a Christian man looks like, a true masculine man that stands up and worship. Years ago, I used to have a ministry that we called Hoop. It was Holy Spirit operating in other places. Basically, it was a gym ministry, and you came and played basketball. But the only way that you got in to play ball was you had to bring a Bible with you. And during that session, we would play ball for about 2 hours, and then we would have like a 15-minute Bible study at the end. And the thing of it was every one of those brothers to a man would come up to me and say, you know, you don't look like a preacher. You don't look like a Christian. And my answer was always, what does that look like? You know, what am I supposed to look like? And we had to portray in front of them the image that it doesn't mean that you're a punk. It doesn't mean that you're a sucker. It doesn't mean that you're soft. It doesn't mean that you know, you're going to let people run over you. It doesn't mean that you're meek and mild-mannered and everything you say is, Lord, forgive them, and you turn the other cheek. You can be a manly man, you can be a masculine man, and you can still be in the church. This is the image that we need to portray, because this is the image that men are looking for. This is the image that brothers are looking for. That's why they go to the gangs and to other places, because they see the brothers that are hard. They see the brothers that are solid, that are leading and standing up. And this is the image that they follow. And they don't see that in the church because it's not there, because we're not portraying it as men of God. We'd rather let the women lead, let the women do it, let the women stand up. And the only time we are there is during the season of men's ministry, which I call is right around Father's Day. And we only see men during that time period. That's when you have all your men's conferences. That's when you have your men's day. That's when you have your men's retreat. All of that goes on during the month of June, right before Father's Day, and we don't see it again anymore. So these are the things that men are looking for, but they're not seeing in the church, but we need to begin to portray. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I agree. I agree. That's one of the things that we definitely have to. We have to have, it's like anything else, you know, we have to be on purpose when we're doing, when we're reaching brothers, and we have to get to a point where we're specifically reaching out to men to get them part, to be part, or to, well, just to mentor them. You know, there's evangelism, that's one thing. But now, the mentor and disciple the men within the body, you know, that thing, you know, always say that brothers we're looking for, there's a lot of things that brothers are looking for when he comes to the church. Again, he may bring his misconceptions and baggage with him, but as men in the church, you know, we're talking about the brothers who are in the church, who are rooted, grounded, and rooted, grounded on the Word of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and are, you know, being the men, the husbands and fathers they're called to be by God's standard. How are we reaching other men, and how is the atmosphere when other men come to the church? Because if we're doing the outreach, we're doing evangelism, we're going to bring other men in the church who come from diverse backgrounds. And that's where, you know, I come from, because I wasn't raised in the church. But when I came to the church, I was looking for something. And I was looking for something. I was looking for other men, like you said. We're looking for other men. Unfortunately, when I was first came into the ministry, and even in a lot of the teachings I was part of in classes, it was outnumbered by women. And that was some of the thing I had to overcome, because that's where my passion grows out of today. Because, you know, there was brothers who didn't partake of the teaching time, that it just didn't happen because the class was overwhelmed and they felt uncomfortable being around women to ask them questions. I mean, that could be taken a lot of different ways, but the truth is the truth. However, I'm going to move on here. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farway, Pastor Larry Watkins. You know, one of the things, brother, I want to talk to is about how, as our relationship with our brothers in Christ, you know, are we loving? Are we showing them love, a fervent love to the brothers? Are we being, you know, there's an old cliche that are we showing ourselves friendly unto men, other men? Are we loving them and how we talk to them? You know, are we the words we use, and are we doing deeds and things that make men feel comfortable? Are we being Christ-like when we're dealing with other brothers in relationships, and those relationships that we build with the brothers in Christ? Let me ask this. I'll put this out there. For all the men and the brothers who are in the church right now, who are the men in your church that you can really trust, and that you are in a, that you're developing a relationship of trust with them brothers, that they know what's going on with you? I understand it doesn't happen automatically. It's not, you know, you're going to meet a guy and all of a sudden you're going to share your whole life. But are you living a life, and are we, as, again, those men in the church, are we reaching out to start to build relationships with other brothers on purpose, that they will come into the knowledge, that they will, we can be their mentor, their peer, their partner, their brother in Christ? Are we truly trying to be their brother? You know, are we making them feel comfortable? Because if a man comes to church with a lot of baggage and stuff going on in his life, you know, because, you know, it's one of the things, you come to church and we see all the marriages, everybody's happy marriage, everybody's marriage seems like it's better than ours. But we know we go home and our wife is off the hook, or we struggling in our being a husband because we didn't know what it was. And now you tell us I'm supposed to be this kind of husband. But all you're going to tell me all the years that I've been doing what I've been doing is not right. So are we on purpose trying to build that relationship, that love, that fervent desire to reach men? And how important is that? What do you think, Pastor?
I think that it's very important that we build those relationships. I think that we need to look at church in a sort of tiered fashion as far as relationships are concerned. What am I talking about? Well, there's first of all the relationship that we have with everybody in the church, and that's all men. And that's just a matter of camaraderie amongst everybody because we're all in this thing together. When we look at the book of Acts, it talks about Acts in Acts, the second chapter, starting around the 46th verse, I believe, or so. It talked about how the life of the Christian was that during that time. And it says that day after day they went to the house of God together. In their houses, they ate their food together, and their hearts were happy. They gave thanks together. These were all the people. And the Bible says, and it was – the Lord added to the church every day such as should be saved. Now, when we talk about our relationship with brothers, we have to first realize that we have a camaraderie relationship with our brother just because he's our brother and he's in that church. The problem that we have, first of all, in that level of relationship is that because we don't go to church every day, we go to church once a week. We go to church maybe twice a week. And we're not building the relationships based on that time frame that is necessary to have that camaraderie. The Bible says that they were in together day after day. They went to each other's houses to eat and to have worship. They were together because they were all they had. They were all they had, so they had to come together to pray for each other, to worship together, to eat together. They built up a level of camaraderie. And then we have the next level of tier is when we build those relationships with people that are closest to us. In doing so, this is where we get to the level of showing people that we're friendly, you know, having a friend, being a friend, and developing that level of friendship. And then as we go further, we start talking then about the mentor level and the teaching level. These are the three levels of relationship that we get to when I'm looking just at this particular scripture. And we have to develop all of those relationships. We have to be in the house, number one, to see those people in the house and come together and have the fellowship and the koinonia that we speak about. Then we have to be able, as we develop in that koinonia, we now begin to develop friendships because we're seeing these people, we're becoming friends with them, and we're showing ourselves friendly. So it goes beyond just a matter of worship and being together in church. And then we have the level where we come together and we're teaching somebody, we're being the examples that we need to be, we're reaching back and mentoring and raising up, and then we're being students because we also have those who are teaching us and we're learning from them. So we need to develop all three levels of this relationship within the church. But because we're not consistent in our participation, because we're not consistent in our time together, we go there for a few hours and we think we've done our duty, we've paid our debt to God, and we leave and we don't care anything about our brother, we don't care anything about what's going on in his life, what's going on in their lives, nothing. Because we're only there for a few hours, and the scheme of our lives, it really does not impact as much. But the more time you spend there, the more camaraderie you have, the more relationships you build. And we need to develop these relationships among men because this is the grounds that the church was built upon. This is the harmony that the church was built upon. And the Bible says that God added to the church every day such as should be saved. And the thing of it is, when men start to see that relationship with other men, and they start to see, hey, you know, they got a good camaraderie going on. You go out and you see a group of men sitting together and they laughing and giggling. You like, hey, where are they from, and how do I become a part of that? These are the things that men are looking for because they're looking for that camaraderie, they're looking for that relationship, but they're not seeing it in the church, so they don't come. What do you think, sir?
Amen. You know, sir, that's exactly what we do when we talk about men's ministry and ministering to men. those are the things that we have to, that's what we have to come to, brothers. We have to be able to seek and develop those stages. I like what you said about those different levels. And that's where the process of building relationship. And we have to all purpose. Again, this is something we have to have the heart set to do, to be able to build. I know we all, for all my church folk that are listening, you know that at the end of a service, Bible study or Sunday service, there's a group that everybody, they all congregate together. It's the same people. So even if there was visitors there, does anyone go and greet the visitor, talk to the visitor, engage the visitor, or a stranger, someone you don't even know? He might not even be a visitor. He might have been coming for a while, but because you're so focused on your little clique, you've never introduced yourself to them. And a lot of things happen informally, and that's what we have to be on purpose about. Because, if you ever step back and watch, and I know pastors see it a lot, that when church service is over, people congregate in their same little groups for whatever reason, for comfort, for support, or whatever. But to those who are not part of, don't have their own little clique, that we don't engage them. It's the service is over, and we got folk that just go into their cars and they're departing. And that scripture, and I like what you said in Acts. I think that it's what it is. You're right. I think a lot of it is we're not interdependent as Christians as the first century church was, because they didn't have nowhere else to go. There was a church in Jerusalem, and that was it. There wasn't many churches on every corner in Jerusalem. There wasn't many churches in Corinthian. There wasn't many churches in Ephesus or Galatia. There was one body of Christ, and they were more in their lives more intertwined than we are today. But again, we have a challenge because that's what we're called to do. I want to read a scripture here. It's in 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's in verse number 22. It says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." And that's in the word there that I looking at that and studying that, preparing for this show, was fervent. That was something that when the word means we stretched our limits. We went outside of ourselves. We always talk about getting outside the box and stretching ourselves and sacrifice. We have to do that in our personal lives to be able to reach others and start to build those ties that bind, those ties that we talk about that bring people into the body of Christ, and we're showing them that love. And we have to, we have to get in our hearts and our minds to be able to fervently seek to fellowship, to build those relationships. Because again, the gospel is someone's life is dependent on this. What are we doing to save a brother's life? Because every one of us have to understand there's a life out there that God did not save us for ourselves. He did not save us for our little circle. He didn't save us for our own family. There's a life out there that needs to be touched, and only we can touch. Because if we remember when we first got saved, there was one or two people. It wasn't necessarily a whole church. There was one or two people who showed us the love of God, that had us connect with God, that had us understand the word, that prayed for us, that was there for us. And we have to have a heart and mind to be able to also do that, and especially for men. Again, as we evangelize and go and reach the world and spread the gospel, that there's going to be some folk that we're going to have to touch, just us and only us to be able to reach them. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here on Monday, the 4th of July, and we are having open line discussions. So if you're on the line, if you've called in to 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad. We'll bring you into the conversation. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can share this show and all our past shows by going to our website there, and you can follow us there. You can archive it. You can send a link to your friends and family, your father, your brother, your nephews, and they can listen to the show. And we encourage you, because we're live here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Pastor Watts. Watkins, hold on 1 minute. I'm going to bring. We have a caller who wants to say something. We're going to bring him in. Praise the Lord, caller. Your last four numbers are 4253. How are you? Can you hear me? Amen. I must guess we lost him. Pastor Watkins, are you still with me?
Yes, sir. I'm still with you.
Amen. Amen. I mean, that caller, maybe you can get that caller. But okay. And anyway, we're going to keep moving on here. And let's talk about being, you know, as the members of the body of Christ. You know, we have to see our brethren in Christ. Do we see them? You know, I think it's important that we see them as our brothers, as brothers in Christ. We're co-heirs, co-partners. I remember in Paul, I believe Paul wrote in the end of his book to the Galatians, he mentioned his co-laborers, fellow servants. And I think that's what we have to see, that, you know, God put us together in the body of Christ, in our local congregation, as co-laborers. We're brethren in Christ to accomplish the vision, the purpose that God has put us together. Our lives are not by mistake, you know. And when, again, this is what we have to have, a heartfelt vision to understand that people just don't come through our lives. People just don't visit our churches. People just don't happen across the thresholds of our churches or the thresholds of our lives, that God has ordained them for a reason. And I think that's one of the things that we have to definitely have to see for those around us, especially in the body of Christ, but also to the world. What do you think, sir? How important is that? To have that mindset that, you know, these people are in our lives for a reason.
It's very important that we have that mindset. You know, the Bible says that we have to show this love one for, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, but to show love one for another. And we have to make sure that we understand that the people that we see in church are our brothers. They are our family, so to speak, because we're all brothers and sisters. We're all in this thing together. And that's the thing that I always say about men's ministry, is that we're all in this thing together. The Bible says that in Galatians, it talks about if your brother be caught up in a fault, then ye who are spiritual, restore them who are spiritual. Well, again, it's talking about our brother. It's talking about our family. It's talking about having that camaraderie, that relationship with someone, that we understand that we are intertwined together. The thing that we have is that our lives are so compartmentalized that we tend to separate those relationships. We tend to separate ourselves from our brothers because we go to church, we spend our 2 to 3 hours there, we have our worship service, we may spend an extra hour after service to talk and reminisce and get together, but after that, we're ready to go to our homes and have our dinners and have, you know, our big pieces of chicken and everything else, because we think that we've done our duty. We may come together for another couple of hours for a Bible study or for a choir rehearsal, but that's few and far between. We compartmentalize our lives so much. We have the people that we deal with at work. We have the people that we deal with at home. We have the people that we deal with at church, and we don't blend those people together. But the thing of it is that the people that are our brother are supposed to be our brother all through our lives, all through our Christian life. These are our brothers. These are the people that we're supposed to develop relationships with. And many times we have better relationships out of church because these are the people that we grow up with or we spend our time with during the week, and we have those better relationships than we do with the people in church because we don't spend enough time with the people in church. You know, I went to a church, and one of the best things that I began to realize was the fact I used to hate it that we spent all day in church. But it wasn't that we spent all day in church. We had service. We would have Sunday school, and then we would eat dinner at church. And then while we were eating dinner, if it was football games on or anything like that, we would stick around church, and we would watch the football games there, and we would enjoy dinner there at the church. They had dinner for, like, you know, not a whole lot of money, $5 for a dinner. You know, it's ridiculous these days. But you could go and have dinner and stay and eat all day and fellowship, and you would stay there, and you would develop these relationships because not only are you eating with them, breaking bread, but you're now fellowshiping and talking, and you get to know those people, and you realize that this is my brother, this is my friend. And not only did we do that, but then after we did that, if you were part of leadership, you stayed and helped clean up because now you have a job to do. You helped clean up. You helped clean up for the dinner, you help put the trash out, you help vacuum the floors and all this. And it developed a camaraderie because now you're spending more than just those 2 hours together with people. You're spending more than just a few minutes with them after church and trying to develop a relationship after that. And then once you develop that relationship on Sunday, it led for you to want to call them and say, hey, man, how you doing? You know, hey, what's going on with you? Hey, how you feeling? You know, because now that we've talked on Sunday, we've developed a relationship. Now we're moving into the friendship. And all of these relationships hinge on that time. It's all about, you know, anytime we have a relationship, it's all about the quality time. And you can't have that quality time. I say this, and I can't say it enough, D. You can't have that quality time with just 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, I thank you for that because, you know, that thing perked me in my spirit that you're right. We especially, you know, we don't spend real time in contact and extend time we spend together. Again, you know, I know folk who want to, you know, they want to go back to the first century church. They want to do the things that the church did. But you're right. The thing that the church did in the first century church and the church of the book of Acts is they were connected and they were tied together. They didn't have a problem. You know, I hear what you, I respect what you were saying. You know, again, I wasn't raised in the church, but, you know, folks talk about being in church all day on Sunday. But that was building of the community. Because even if you had a secular job, you know, you got to be around some folk who believe what you believe, live what you was living, going through the sanctification and process. You knew they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and you was trying to build something that you could lean on, that you could deal with the rest of the world, the rest of other parts of your life, that would give you some strength and encouragement to go deal with the people in your job or in your neighborhood or whatever, you know. But now, you know, I'm around leaders and pastors, and they struggle with this, but they're trying to get folk out of church in 2 hours. They want to do a 45-minute sermon, a quick praise and worship, and they're trying to get folk out of the building in 2 hours because folk is having issues. Because certain folk actually call the pastor and tell them the service is too long, or they want to spend all day, or they want to all of a sudden they want to spend so much time with their family because, you know, with their own personal little circle, their immediate family is more important than the body of Christ, that, you know, that they have to put so much time in that because apparently their whole week is so busy, they ignore their family all week. So they plan the weekend, the only time to get together. But that's a whole other issue. This is why we have Issues Christian Men's Talk, because if you don't have that balance during the week, then you start to cherish your weekends, that's the only time that you can actually spend with your family. And as a husband and a father, you have a problem. I'm just saying it. You know, you may not see it. It may be so. You may do it so much you don't even realize it. However, there's all a balance. And being part of the body, and we have, and again, as men of God, we have an obligation to the body, obligation to the fellowship, the connection, that our family is connected with other God-believing families, that other children are connected, and our children see others. And that's what the body is meant to be. And especially with this age of technology, you know, we do a lot of separation. Because even I know pastors today, you know, you talk about live streaming. Some pastors are not really happy with live streaming because now people got a reason not to come and be really in physical contact. And that's what we have to look at if we want to look at ourselves and look at the church in Book of Acts of the first century church. They were physically in the presence of one another. You know, if something was going on, they knew because they were connected spiritually and physically, and that they had to, and they just had to absolutely see each other and be around each other. So that's one of the things that we definitely have to be keen of and aware of when we're dealing with family. And we're dealing with church folk, that we have to be in a place where we're open to that and we're sensitive to the needs of others. Amen? It's Deacon Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Saturday night, every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636 and join the conversation, or you always can listen to the archive and rebroadcast of our shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. Amen. Well, tonight, they're also, and to shift gears here, because we're talking about how we see our brother in Christ and the things that we do and how we treat one another. And I wanted to go to a quick scripture here, James, and starting at verse number 14. And the Word of God says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace and be warmed.'" Hold on 1 minute. I got a paper Bible again. For those who don't know me, got to turn the page. "And filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And that goes back to, again, I mean, you know, that scripture is used for a lot of teachings, a lot of things, but I want to say that that's what we have faith for. How are we building, again, the relationships with those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, I like to give the example. If the government, the social service department of the government, for whatever reason, decided they wanted to shut it down, that means no food stamps, no subsidies, no money coming out. Or if the government got to the point where if anyone claimed to be Christian couldn't get resources from the government, are we as a church prepared to step in and fill the gap? Are we willing to make those sacrifices that it's going to take? Again, we, you know, we have folk who like to preach about the book of Acts and the first century church, but again, all they had was themselves. And are we, and where is our mindset, and where is our faith? What do you think about that, sir? Are we in the place where we have that, and we're prepared to take on the burdens of those in the body? With all we have, the social services and the government, but is there a problem with us taking care of the widows, the orphans, our elderly, and within our local body, that we make sure they have all that they need? Or do we, you know, that old thing, I hate to be, I don't want to be critical of the church, but, you know, brother, someone comes to us with a problem, and then we're going to tell them we're going to pray for you, and you pray, and God will provide. But we're not ready to reach into our pocket. We're not ready to sacrifice our time. We're not really just ready to change our plans at the last minute to minister and help someone. What do you think, sir?
Jesus said that if your brother asks for your coat, you give him your coat and your cloak too. He said, if someone asks you for a loaf of bread, you go and get and you give him two loaves of bread. It's the ministry of us to go beyond what would normally be done. Now, in the first century church, there was no such thing as welfare. There was no such thing as government subsidies. What you did was you brought everything that you had. All of us, if I had anything, we brought it together to the church, and this is what we had to eat, and we made sure that the widows and everybody had food for that day. So they came together, and because they were all bringing what they had, you know, they made sure that everybody ate. Now, they may not have ate, you know, steak and ribs and chicken and every day, but they had something to eat every day, because they made sure that they were looking out for people, they were looking out for everybody else. You know, nowadays it's a matter of, you know, if you don't belong to my church, then I can't give you nothing, you know, or you know, we're going to pray for you and we're going to make sure that God provides, and then we leave it at that. We don't reach into our pocket to help make sure that they need something, or we're worried that if we do reach into our pocket, it's not going to be used the proper way. So we don't do, you know, the things that we need to do. We don't provide the way that we need to provide. Therefore, we're not meeting the needs that we were supposed to be meeting as the church. You know, the ministry of the deacon was created, and I'm just saying this not to point fingers at you, but I'm just saying this in general. The ministry of the deacon was to make sure that the women and children and the widows got fed, because it was so many of them that it was taking too much time for the ministers to try and feed everybody, especially when it came to time of doing communion, that they created the ministry of the diaconate so that they can make sure that everybody got served and that it wasn't taking up time away from the ministry because the minister had to be able to preach and do everything else. This was the ministry of the diaconate, and we've kind of gotten away from that ministry because we want to make sure, like you said, we get out in 2 hours, that we're doing the 20-minute message, that we can get people out and get home because we want them to go have time with their family. Well, if you brought your family to church, that everybody stayed at church, then you had time to be with your family at church. But you know, it's just a matter of, again, our lives being so compartmentalized that we're worried about our own little world. We're so self-absorbed and not self-sacrificing, but we're so selfish that we worry about what we have, what we need to do, that we're not worried about what's going on in my brother's life. We're not worried to make sure that my brother is eating or that he has the stuff that he needs or he has heat in his house or stuff like that because we're worried about trying to make sure our bills are paid and we got, you know, food in our house. All we come together with all of this and we're not taking care of our brothers. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct, and you know, I agree with what you're saying. You know, it's one more thing I wanted to put out there, too, that we have to also, for the brethren, for the, you know, folk in the church, you know, when you have a need, we have to let our brothers and sisters know. We have to give our brother and sister opportunity to really help us, because some of that is pride, and that's what the enemy does also, is raise up the pride in us when we can't ask for help. Because, again, if we're in true koinonia, if you want to be that first century church, that book church in Acts, how we come together one to another and they shared, they all had all things in common. If I don't know that you have a need, sometimes you just need to tell me and I can make provision. You know, so it's sometimes a two-way street, too, because we have folk who they're prideful and they find out, you know, the electricity's been off for 2 months, but nobody in the church never knows. So that's the other side of it. Since you called me out as a deacon, you know, I got to defend the deaconhood, the ministry of the deacon. I got to defend it, you know, because we do a lot, and you know, we get blamed. But anyway, you know, unless the body knows, we can't really. We got to help. So sometimes the enemy uses pride in the struggles that folk you don't share and let people know that you need help. And again, that's where the koinonia, that's where the relationship building comes. You know, are you that one? Do you see yourself? Again, you have to look at ourselves in the mirror. Do we see ourselves as someone that people can come to in need, and then we can could direct them to the resource? It may not that we can always do it, you know, but are we in a place where, and that's where I see the deacon ministry, I'm in a place where I can get a resource to help someone, that we can do some things to get their lights on, to get food in the house, to get whatever, and make a way and provide for them, that in the body of Christ they're not suffering and lack. And sometimes, again, I'll take it back to the interpersonal, that sometimes people just need someone to talk to and be a friend to. And that's, I think, our greatest gift we can give anyone is that love, that fervent, unconditional love as best we can to build relationships, to encourage one another, to stand by one another, and do those things, to love the one another's. I believe it's, 27 or so one another's in the scripture. If we lived out those things and applied those things in the body of Christ, the church would be stronger, the church would grow, and the world would have a different opinion and view of the church. Amen? I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We've been here with Pastor Larry Watkins and myself, Deacon Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, or you can call in on Mondays and Thursdays at 646-668-2636. Pastor Watkins, any closing statements, sir?
Just that we need the thing that is paramount is that we show love one for another. It's not a matter of whether it's a Christian or a non-Christian, but that we need to show love for our neighbor, and that in order to show love for a neighbor, you got to have love for yourself. Thank you, Deke, for the opportunity, man. I appreciate it.
Amen, sir. I appreciate you giving time and giving the wisdom and sharing the conversation. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues. God bless you, and we'll see you on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. God bless.
God bless.